Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, for each soul that's here, for the heads that are bowed in your presence, for the families that are represented, Lord. You know each and every one of our needs, our private prayer requests, Lord, our loved ones that don't yet know you as Savior. And I pray, Father, please, you would bless our time in your presence. Lord, that you would mark us as your children. And Father, that others would see that, Lord, you can indeed do great things. Please bless our time around your word, the songs, the prayers. Lord, I pray especially for prayer requests. I pray too, Lord, for the reading of your word and the teaching and preaching of your word. For Christy, we're glad he got home. For Esther and Pat and Steve, Lord, and their health issues, Father, you know. Pray you too for Colin and the interesting times he's having at work. And I pray, please, Father, that you would just be one of our number. Be with our brothers and sisters wherever they are in the world, especially Stan and Karen. Karen, especially in her health issues at this moment in time, the folks on the banger. For Pastor Seeley, for Pastor Hayne, for Pastor Asquith, Pastor Bessett. There are many more, for the Foxes, the Smiths, the Snows, the Isaacsons, Lord, the Randalls, Lord, for the many that are out there, I pray you please for your hand upon them, Lord, and the folks that hear them. Please bless us and keep us, and this time around your word, Lord, please find our prayers, our praises, our tithes, our offerings, our reading of your word and the preaching of your word and the fellowship, Lord, just this whole time, acceptable in your sight, and guide us and direct us. We love you and thank you. Amen. Number two in the wee black book. Let's make a joyful noise. You have to be able to at least beat me this morning. Or you should be able to. It's a well of good water when thirsty and dry. Brethren, hungry and worn, when the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubles sore. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark we can't see, and I'm not made of changing one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed open that I hold in my hand, it's truth that I'm beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, that keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost us to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, it's pretty are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true, if you find when you're reading that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed open that I hold in my hand, it's truth from beginning. Solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, that keeps me from sin.
Amen. We'll try 240 now. He's familiar with the Bible. 204. If you're able, let's stand as we sing.
mind reading this from a book of Psalms, Psalm 73. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart and being, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the days long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of my children, of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into destruction? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou wakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they are far from thee, shall praise. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a warring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Amen.
Amen. Some good verses there. Just says, thou hast took, verse 23, thou hast holden me by my right hand, and thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. It's good for me to draw near to God. I thought, Norman, you were actually going to start with to say a few things there before you did your reading. Whenever it started with, truly God is good. And I thought, Norman's going to say something before he reads the Bible reading. Well, I wouldn't have minded that, but amen. Good verses, we appreciate them. Steve and Norman have a thing going on where Steve has suggestions from time to time about the, well, almost every time about the Bible reading. He passes it on to Norman. And most times it works out. Sometimes I think there's a bit of a wee devil in Steve, and he'll fire one in with a lot of names or things like that. But amen. Wish he could be here. He's not keeping the best at the moment, and I would ask that you would just say a wee word of prayer for him whenever you think on him and Pat both. Don't forget to pray for Esther. She has a lot of medical conditions as well, or physical conditions, should I say. And she needs prayer too. Christy made it home. I think he was recovering from jet lag or whatever, and
a day's traveling from the United States is really, is literally a day's traveling. So, all being well, he'll be joining us on Wednesday evening. Right. Excuse me. Are there any other prayer requests or anything that we would need to be considering? You may have noticed the yellow prayer list. That means all the notes and suggestions from the previous one have been put onto it. I have, for private prayer requests, does anybody have a private prayer request? You want to put up your hand and I'll put the line under your name. Does anybody have a private prayer request? Okay, I know I do. It's not just for health. Okay. Norma, thank you, and welcome. Okay, Pat and Steve, I'll put a ring around them and I'll double check with them. Thank you very much. We miss Frank as well. He's working away in London. Please do pray for him. And of course, all of those that have been gone. Amen. Pray for Taylor. She is still in the process of getting paperwork sorted out. They didn't get it sorted out at the time they were married, and so that means there's normally a little bit of an upset. Sometimes I think these people are a little bit like the planning people, and that if you don't tip your cap at them in the proper way or give them their due amount of deference, then they will make life difficult for you. I hope it's not. It seems like it could be, but please do pray for Taylor and her paperwork as she gets ready to move over here. Other than that, anything else? Anything else you can think of? I would appreciate prayers for whatever's going on with me. I hope that'll be gone in a day or two. I'm supposed to go and visit my dad. I had to put that off last weekend. Last week passed and the week before that passed. I'm hoping to go and see him soon, but I'm not going to be rushing anything. So that's that. Nothing else? Country needs prayer. The world needs prayer. Certainly pray for Israel. Don't forget our local bit. We've got a Derry that we live in. We've got a Northern Ireland that we live in. Please do pray for lost loved ones. I know we all have them. It's a matter of prayer. The Bible says, this is a promise from God, that the effectual fervent prayer, real prayers from real Christians, things will happen. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So be much in prayer. Practice. Right. Well, leave us a wee word there if you would, brother.
Heavenly Father, thank you today, Lord, for being with us, Lord, and for bringing safety and security into your house today, Lord. We're going over and over. As each gentleman is here, Lord, gentlemen, touch us, represent the blessings, and keep us, Lord, and do anything in your word, Lord. Do everything in your will, Lord, and be a blessing to us, Lord. May we do all the best to you, your service as well, Lord. We've had some problems with there, the love from many trouble, Lord. So Mr. Ultimus in Malaysia managed to have trouble, Lord. Be of that man as well, Lord. Mm-hmm. And Lord, be of Frankie's in London, love for many trouble, keep him safe and well, Lord. And draw closer to you, Lord, and our bless him and keep him from any trouble or any harm as well, Lord, happen any stories as well, Lord. Be of, thank you for Charlotte and Ling and Lord Charlotte and Colin, Lord, be of them, and thank you for having them on Tuesday, Lord. Bless them, help them on their work, help them on their day-to-day life, and be of them, and bless them and their walk with thee as well, Lord. With Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord, help them, Lord, and save their souls, Lord, whenever they're in town, Lord, be with them and keep them safe well, Lord, and save their souls, Lord, and bring them into church next point time as well, Lord. With Carl, with Christy, and with Taylor, Lord, and with thanks for having Christy, having bringing safety and security back to the province, Lord. Love for many trouble, be with his work, help me thesis, Lord. Love for many trouble, Lord, and bless him and keep him on permanent teachers at this point in time, Lord. With Taylor, as she has paperwork over in the States, Lord, love for many trouble, keep her safe and well, Lord, and rejoice in thee, Lord, and love for many trouble as well. With Stephen Pat, Lord, help him in the infirmities, Lord, keep him safe and well, Lord, especially Stephen's angina attacks, Lord, heal him and keep him safe and well, and be with him and Steve's infirmities, Lord, and keep him safe as well. Be with also Esther, Lord, keep her safe as well, Lord, be with her infirmities, Lord, and afflictions, Lord. Heal her, Lord, love from any trouble, and keep her safe and well, Lord. And, Lord, if it's possible, bring her to church next point of time, Lord, whenever she can, Lord. Be with her and bless her as well, Lord. And be with John Bradfield, love from any trouble, and keep him safe as well, Lord. Help him, he's operating with his cataracts, love from any trouble as well, Lord, as well, Lord. And be with the congregation up in Stan's church, Lord, and grateful to the young people there, Lord, and keep them safe and well, Lord. We also remember the students, the children, the young people here at our school, Lord, those who are in trouble, Lord, helping their studies, Lord, with Frank and with JJ and his training, Lord, with all the other children as well, Lord, and Christy and Marky and all the rest, Lord, Faith and Samuel as well, Lord. With many trouble, Lord, with them and keep them safe in their studies, Lord, and bring them up into the nurture of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Bless this day, Lord. May you do everything and set one aside for Jesus Christ again, Lord.
Thanks, Lord. Did anybody think of a song that they wanted to sing?
117.
Number 7?
117.
Oh, 117. Sorry. Which is just fine. Which is Safe in the Arms of Jesus. That's a good one. 117. Safe in the Arms of Jesus. One, I'll entertain it. This is B.
Check the page.
103. If you still open at 117, it's not very far. Under his wings. Is that it?
We have sung it to you.
We'll give it a shot. We'll play a verse of it first by way of an introduction, and then we will sing Under His Wings. I'm sure it will come flooding back. Verse number 28. As Monica said, it may actually be one of the shorter messages ever, but as the Lord wills and provides, it's only 11:30. We're good until what time? What time's lunchtime for everybody? 1 o'clock?
12.
12? Are we snack? I'll go as fast as I can, but. Good one. Good one. Amen. Title for the message this morning is Keeping It. And we're reading from Luke chapter 11, beginning at verse number 27. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The title for the message is Keeping It. And we're speaking from, we're taking just those two verses as our text. There's a lot of good stuff in that portion of God's word, but these are the two verses that I want to spend a little bit of time on this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time around your word. And I know, Father, there's difficulties in every court, at every hand, behind us and in front of us and above us and below us. You know, Lord, I know you know. Thankful for those verses that Norman read, that you're there for us and you're holding us up and keeping us in the palm of your hand. I thank you that even in the words of the song, Lord, we can find shelter under your wing. When we run to you and when we stay with you. I pray you, Lord, you bless the reading, the preaching, the thinking on and the consideration and the meditation upon your word in our hearts and minds this day. Please be with your children wherever they are, those that are having difficult times, Lord. I pray a remembrance of good old messages and good old songs and good old scriptures. Please bless and keep and comfort and encourage. And please work your work in our hearts and minds this morning, Lord. We love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. Since there's only two verses, I'll read them again. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, that's referring back to all of the other, if your Bible's a red letter edition, the verses that came before that chapter. Speaking these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And he said, Yea, rather are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Amen. This is an often repeated instruction. And it shows the importance. Bible teaching. I know sometimes we have a laugh, and that was quite funny what one said earlier on about dinner at 12 o'clock, and I'll have you home for dinner. Didn't say which day now, I just had to. But it is very important. It's not just very important, it's the most important thing. There is no other publication on the face of the earth that has done as much for mankind as the Bible has. There are treaties on personal hygiene. There are manuals and years of training on brain surgery, heart surgery, thoracic surgery. I don't know what the bones is, but bone surgery. They're whole different disciplines. There used to be like one discipline for computers, and now there are hundreds. Things have changed, and they have certainly improved a lot of people. They've provided so much for us. Will's mum was saying, whenever she found out that I just wasn't keeping the best, why don't you just play a recording of the service on the CD? I said, I could go one better. I have the recordings of the services on my phone. Just hook up a Bluetooth speaker and off we go. And all of those things have enabled us to increase the longevity of people's lives. I think maybe 150 or 200 years ago, you'd have been doing well to get to maybe 45 or 50. And now my dad is coming up on 90, and people are living into their 90s very, very often, and you're hearing more and more of people living into their hundreds. But the Bible is the only book that will save a soul forever. Not just for the years that they're on this world.
I'm glad for antibiotics. They saved my life on at least one occasion. But the Bible saved my soul forever. And it is so important that I gave up all my career opportunities in computer science to spend my life in the service of God in preaching and teaching His Word. It's that important. Now, if we were to look back at the previous red bits in chapter 11, if you go back even to chapter 10, if your Bible's a red letter, you will see there's a lot more red than there is black. And that means that Jesus has been doing a lot of speaking. A little bit like the Sermon on the Mount, although not quite the different time. We have, at the start of it, we have the Lord teaching the disciples how to pray. This is the right way to pray. And he gives them the model prayer. The Lord's prayer does not save souls. Might make you feel better, but it certainly, most times, it'll never get any farther than bouncing off the ceiling and dying in the carpet. Because they're not real, they're just a vain repetition. It talks about how to treat people. It even goes on to say about God himself and the relationship that he has with his children. Ask me, he says. If you ever have a problem, ask me. I had an old Mr. Cairns, an old math teacher, who was a crusty old man, and people were afraid of him in secondary school, which means from the age of 11 till about 14. And he was a fearsome maths teacher. He was very sharp. He was very just. And he said, if you ever have a problem with mathematics, ask me. He says, I'm your math teacher. It's my job to teach you maths. Although his prickly demeanor meant that a lot of people didn't. But I always remembered that. If I ever had a problem, not just in math class, but in any of my classes, I would go to my teacher or my lecturer. And the Lord said, if you have a problem with life, come to me. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Or if you don't ask, you don't get. And that's literally the way it is. Young Frank, and this is how things work. A couple of years back, he had an internship at a local accountancy firm for 1 week. And I think they gave him maybe £100, which is good for a young fella, for weighing him, just still in school. And I asked him, did he enjoy it? And he said he did. Talk on the Wednesday night, and says, would you like to do another week? He says, I wouldn't mind. He says, well, go and ask them. And he said, but they're only offering a week. He says, it doesn't matter what they say. Go and ask them. Tell them you enjoyed it so much you would like to do another week. And he got another week out of it. I think Ling or Dr. Shine might have gotten a coat out of it, but I can't recall. I think he bought presents and one thing and another with some of the money. But if you don't ask, you don't get. Ask and you shall receive. It gives the example then of the Lord speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. He says, you look after your kids, don't you? And like, you're wicked sinners. You're hypocrites. You're liars. You're thieves. Do you not think that God will give so much more to his children? Of course he will. It goes on to talk about demon possession. Now it goes on to talk about who God actually is, or who Jesus actually is. And said, well, they accused him of being the devil, and it's only because you're the devil that you're able to cast out devils. He says, well, that's your opinion. And if that's true, well then, the devil's kingdom is divided against itself and it's going to fall. And he said, however, and this is another thought that I had this morning, the alternative is that I'm God. And that I have come to live and to teach and to preach and to do miracles amongst you and to save souls. So, you know, it's up to you. Make up your mind. I am sure there's an awful lot more spoken than what we actually have recorded here. And so at one point, this woman stands up and she could be overcome with emotion. She could be just so lifted up that she says, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps that gave you suck. Or as they say in Derry, God bless your mammy for all that she did to you. Those 9 months, she had a tough time those 9 months.
You were riding in the back of a donkey, stuck in an old stable. She did a lot for you. And then her and your dad, they went through a lot. They had to go to Egypt, didn't they? They had to run away from Haran. You just got out of Bethlehem, the town of Haran, went bonkers and killed all the little children. And the work that they did in raising you up, God bless you. At least that's what they would say in there. You know what the Lord said? He said, that's not the case. The case is that if you hear the word of God and do it, keep it, he says, then you will be blessed. Because there are so many instructions in the Bible where you have to be in a certain place to receive God's blessing. And I'm not talking about you have to be in church to receive God's blessings. I get a blessing when I see you in church. I hope the services are a help to you. But you have to be in obedience. Or you have to be in service. And God will bless you. God is not going to bless the Christian that sits in their backside drinking tea, eating biscuits. See if you can work this out. Cup of tea in one hand, packet of biscuits in the other, and a remote control in the other hand. God is not going to bless that person. If they have three arms or three hands, maybe they're blessed already. But God is not going to bless the person that's out drinking or out sleeping around or doing drugs or lying or cheating or stealing. No. It's not a case of excuse me. It's not a case of as you would or as I came across a couple of times in Roman Catholic households, of people claiming or wanting to ride in the coattails of a son that has gone into the priesthood or a daughter that has joined the local convent to, in quotes, serve God with the rest of their lives. And therefore, there is some element of holiness passed on to the rest of the family. It doesn't work like that. It's an individual thing. It's a personal thing. And even back in the Old Testament, the Lord said, a man shall pay for his own sins. He's not going to pay for his dad's sins, and his dad's not going to pay for his sins. A man will have to sort his own self out. And that's why it says, blessed are they, that each person that hears the word of God and keeps it. Now, I know a lot of folks will think that keeping the word of God is like having a wee pocket Bible stuck in your hip pocket. Unfortunately, my hip pocket has a flashlight in it. Maybe they'll put it in their breast pocket. I don't have a breast pocket today. Or, and I could take you to 1,000 houses, 1,000 homes in this town, and there'll be a Bible in it. It'll be in a box. It'll be on a coffee table. It'll be in a bookcase. It'll be in a bedside cabinet. But they will keep a Bible in the house. And inside the Bible, there'll be birth certificates and marriage certificates and death certificates and all that sort of stuff. However, that's not going to make a person a Christian. And it's not even like the old Hammer House of Horror TV shows where if you have a Bible in the house, the vampires won't be able to get in. There's enough bloodsuckers living in this country, and most of them work in the tax office for the government. But having a Bible in your house is not going to make your house holy. Neither is having a statue of Mary in the window. It's not going to make you holy. Might make people think you're holy, but it doesn't actually make people holy. That's the chime. That's the first warning that we're halfway through the service in order to get well home first. It's 12 o'clock lunch. Now, some other people will say, well, our phone is probably just putting up his hand and saying, what about me? Because a lot of people carry their Bible on their phone. And I've even heard of folks using their phone in church. I personally don't like that. Because it's far too easy to have the internet, your text, your WhatsApp, your Twitter, whatever other feeds it is that you have coming in and saying, oh, I'll just skip on that. I'll not miss very much of the service. It's very hard to pick up Google on your paper, leather-backed King James Bible. That's good. There's no harm in having the internet on your phone. I have it on my phone. are they looking at the Bible? Well, there's no problem checking it on your computer. There's many times I have typed into Google the meaning of a name. Or if I'm just being lazy, an actual quote. Well, that's grand. Excuse me. It's even good to have them in the back of the pew. Or up in the pulpit. But it's not going to be the holy. If it was that easy, the Holy Derry would be in church this morning. They would be saved. They would be on their way to heaven. The pubs would shut. There'd be no bother of a night. The police station could cut their staff in half. And the locksmiths would probably go out of business because there wouldn't be any problem with thieving or lying. The fire brigade would only need to work really between 9 and 5 because there'd be nobody setting things on fire. This place would be great if having a Bible in the house was the thing that made you holy. And I know I'm labouring a point about it. And it's definitely good to have a copy of the Bible. But a lot of times we take it for granted that just having a copy of the Bible, just keeping a copy, is all that we need to do. Now, if you have an Old Testament and a New Testament, you've literally everything that God has imparted to mankind. Everything that God needs man to know about ourselves, about him. Everything in the Bible is enough there to prove that it is the Word of God. You have your prophecy, things that are happening even right now, the hatred of Israel and God's people, the Christians. The technology, the warfare, the way people are, they're all selfish and self-centered. Never think about anybody else. They just have a love of money and riches and power and stuff. It's in the Bible. We have that as a description in the Bible. Here's a freebie for you. 2 Peter chapter 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 3. Best examples in the New Testament of what people are going to be like before Jesus comes back. And if you were to look around, you would see that that is indeed how people are. But you also have salvation in the Bible. Right from the very first few pages till the very, very end, and liberal examples, not just in preaching, but also in history, of people's need to get saved. To repent of their sins. And when you repent, that means you literally, if you could reach into your heart, you tear out your sins. And the space that's left is taken up with the Holy Spirit. That's what repentance is. And you throw that away and you cling to the Holy Spirit. Repent and believe, trusting that Jesus Christ has paid for your sins on the cross. That's in the Bible. The first example, I think, is on the second or third page of the Bible, where the Lord kills a couple of lambs to cover Adam's and Eve's nakedness after they are found to be sinners, after they've committed sin and disobeyed God. Right the way through to the very end, until Jesus Christ actually comes back and saves, physically, those that trust in him. Bringing those that he saved, spiritually, of all the ages of man before that. That's in the Bible. That's in the Old and New Testament. You got the prophecies about Israel becoming a nation again. That only happened 73, 74 years ago. My dad remembers that happening. It happened. In spite of the UK and in spite of America, and in spite of the whole world being against it, and people's going to pay for that. You've got the best preaching in the world, the Sermon on the Mount. And it's repeated in the four Gospels. That's in the Bible. You've got the reminders, and I'll put that in quotes, of how the Lord would like us to behave. That he expects us to be in church. That we should, for our own good, read and study and pray and sing, lift up his praises. I am sure we have a favourite song that we hum along to. We should make sure that we make a point of singing some of God's favourite songs. It tells us how to treat people. It tells us how husbands should treat their wives. It tells us how wives should treat their husbands.
how people should treat their parents. We're supposed to honor them. And how we should treat our children. We should raise them upright. Tell them about God. Remind them about God and demonstrate God in their lives. That's it. That's in the Bible. It even tells us how to speak to the naysayers. It's got warnings for harmful things. Dire warnings if you're out there acting the fool. It says your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and if you set about defiling it, God will destroy you. God will set his face against you. And not only are you working against yourself, you'll have God working against you too. It's almost like warning labels. I don't know if any of you have ever gone to the McDonald's website or some of these fast food restaurants' websites. You can actually get a list of all of their dishes and what they contain. Monica is to look for dairy and for milk and gluten. For dairy and gluten. There you go. Milk is there. Eggs aren't. But the Bible has that. It has a list of harmful activities, harmful places, things that we should be doing and things that we shouldn't be doing. If I said, can anyone name one, I'm sure you would be able to say, well, we shouldn't be going out killing people. Although I'm sure we could think of a few that would need a slap or two. We shouldn't be telling lies. And people are immediately thinking, oh yeah, I can think of another one. Those are two of the Ten Commandments. Yeah, we should honour our moms and dads. We shouldn't be worshipping idols. That's about five. We should be in church on the Sabbath day. And we meet in church on the Lord's Day, which is a Sunday, the first day of the week. We shouldn't be stealing other people's stuff, and we shouldn't be stealing other people's stuff in our heads either, coveting stuff. But it's got warning labels a mile long and the whole way through Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And it even warns us of the love of money. And it says, week by week, you can demonstrate to me how you love me more than you love money whenever you put your tithes and your offerings into the plate. You can fill a book with all the stuff that's good for us that we need to do and all the stuff that's bad for us that we shouldn't do. Would you believe it? He did. He filled the book with historical examples, with parabolic examples, if that's the right way of putting it, and with very personal examples, with personal communications between God and you and me. It's all in that book. And you can walk around with that book, and you can, when people say things or do things to you, you can say, I can fight that with the Bible. A lot of people are going to think that if they hold the Bible and there's a picture of a cross on it, and if they hold it like that, that it'll create a spiritual force field that will keep bad things away from you. It'll keep vampires and werewolves away. It'll keep demons and ghosts away. That's not the way it works. Yes, the Bible does have all the answers. I'm going to tell you something for free. My Bible has over 1,800 pages in it. And if someone asked me, what is God's position on, goodness, anybody got a suggestion? I can't even think of drinking. There, drinking's a scourge, drinking and drugs. Here's what I remember. Whenever I, and this is a funny thing, before I was even saved, Proverbs 20:1. That used to be the legal age that you had to be before you could drink in Northern Ireland. You're going back at least 40 years. It says, wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It also says, who has wounds without a cause but they that tarry long at the wine? Who has the redness of the face? So the nose goes on to say as well. And time and time and time again, throughout the scriptures, it warns about drunkenness. Even in the New Testament, it says not to be filled with wine wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you don't take time to find out where that is, I'm going to be honest with you. I couldn't tell you where a lot of the verses are, but I can tell you what the verses are. It's still the Word of God. And the spirit of man knows it's the Word of God.
because they took time to hide them in their heart. And this isn't another one of my, oh, the pastor's on his hobby horse about learning the Bible. You should do. You should literally take time to learn your Bible. Does anyone remember the Bible verse I challenged you to about 3 weeks ago? Do you remember it? Well, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And that's what? Good for you. And he shall stand the latter day upon the earth. Exactly. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand the latter day upon the earth. Goes on to talk about, again, I'm paraphrasing in Job. Job 9, what was it? Do you remember the reference? Job 9:25. Anyway, it goes on to say that Job will actually see God with his own eyes standing upon the earth. It's great to know that. But do you know all of the other things that you need? Do you know all the other verses, like the ones that Norman was reading? The comforting verses whenever you're down in the dumps. You know, in 2 Samuel 22, it talks about, I think it's 22, it says about, by my God, I have leaped over a wall. By my God, I have run through a troop. And basically what that meant was, it could overcome any obstacle and beat any enemy by trusting in God. Do you know those verses? The thing is, just like a garden, you don't have a garden, you keep a garden. There's grass to be cut, there's weeds to be pulled, there's hedges to be trimmed, there's plants and flowers, or even vegetables if you're planting a vegetable garden. There's sometimes there's weed killer to be put down. You might even have to put up wire over your strawberries. Keep a garden. It's like a car. You don't have a car. You keep a car. There's fuel to be put in it. There's cleaning to be done in it. There's oil to be put in it. Clutch fluid, brake fluid. There's water to be put in the windscreen washer. Maybe with a wee bit of vinegar or something like that if you want the acid to eat away the gunk on your windscreen. There's brake pads. There's air filter, oil filter, fuel filter. And whenever the car gets to a certain age, it could be just about anything that needs to be done in order to keep your car. What about a home? If you're keeping a home, you don't own a home, you keep a home. You have to maintain it. There's a cleaning, and that's not just dishes, that's carpets. There might be a bit of painting from time to time. Norman could give you a better list. He's just been in the process of doing all that. He was so stuck for something after all the work in the church was done that he took into doing his own house. There's cooking. There's washing dishes and washing clothes and floors and windows. There's cleaning gutters. All so that your home will be a comfortable home and a clean home, a home that you'd want to spend time in. What about pets? You don't own a pet, you keep a pet. And keeping pets involves medical bills, feeding, cleaning, entertaining, housing, exercising. You keep pets. Anything that you want to keep, you have to maintain. And it's exactly the same with the Word of God. One of the greatest mistakes that modern Christians make by saying, I have the Word of God on my phone. But I'm going to tell you something that might horrify you. Whenever your phone, if you're dependent on your phone to keep any reference book at all, whether it's an encyclopedia or a Bible, the next time you hit update application, it could load anything onto that Bible or onto that reference work. I have a Christian encyclopedia at home that gives God's view on things. It's about 150, 200 years old. And some of those definitions have most certainly changed in the past 150, 200 years, and not for the better. To keep the things that you hear needs work. There's a part of us that doesn't want anything to do with the Word of God. That's the old nature. There's a part of us that kicks and bites and screams at the thought of having to turn up in church. Forby even open a Bible in our own time and sitting down and thinking, oh, that big deep sigh, oh, I have to read the Bible. Oh, I have to say some prayers. I get that feeling. I understand. And sometimes it's just as simple as, well, the Lord would say, are you going to watch TV, surf the web? Or are you going to spend time with me? It's literally that simple. And the old man saying, the world, the flesh, and the devil, if there are three hands up saying, I know which one we want to do. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if there are three hands up and they're saying, I know which one you should be doing, cast and vote, the deciding vote's always ours. Our personal decision. There are so many Christians that think having the Bible on a phone is going to save them from the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventists, the Protestant Church, the Catholic Church. When they come spinning their yarns, and a lot of them do, and trying to take people away by saying, oh, we believe just like you. You should come and visit us. But because people don't know their actual Bibles, they're easy prey. You know that verse in the Bible where it says, be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know what a lion does whenever it walks about? It looks for the weak one. It looks for the one that's away from the rest of the crowd. It looks for the young one that's not just quite sure what's dangerous and what's not. And that's the one that they will get, and that's the one that the world, the flesh, and the devil will get, is the one that's weak. One that doesn't know the scriptures but thinks they're okay, or the young one that doesn't know much about the scriptures because they haven't had time. The ignorant one that's wandered away off on its own. Those are the ones that the world, the flesh, and the devil will get in Christian circles too, unless you know your Bible. Did you know that the Jehovah's Witness, for instance, they believe that Jesus didn't die on the cross. They believe that he just went into a faint. When the Bible clearly says that Jesus gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And he was killed, if you like, twice. He gave up the ghost. And then he was instructed, there was a soldier that was instructed to make sure that guy's dead. And they went and stuck a spear in his chest, up into his heart, and blood and water came out. It means they pierced his heart, because it was normally heart failure that people had fluids and whatnot gathered around the heart because they weren't able to breathe properly, and blood and water came out together. He was dead. And he raised himself from the dead. So the Seventh-day Adventists and the Jehovah's Witness are wrong. Why would you want anything to do with them? Or the Mormons? But we believe that the devil is just a half-brother of Jesus. What does the Bible say about that? Do you know? And I'm not saying I am better than you. I am saying these are things that we would need to know. The Bible says, this is what the Lord said about the devil. Thou wast created perfect in all of your ways until iniquity was found in thee. The devil wasn't begotten, he was created. He's just, when I say he's just an angel, that's like saying someone is just incredibly old, incredibly smart, and incredibly strong, but they're on the wrong side of the fence. And that's exactly what it is. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And when you put that into your heart, it's like putting batteries in a child's favourite electronic toy. Now, I am 56. I actually got that right. I am of an age whenever I remember Big Track. Has anyone ever seen it? The old Big Track was about that size. And Starbird. Does anyone ever remember Starbird? And you had to put batteries into them, otherwise they were just lumps of plastic. But when you put batteries in, there were hours of entertainment to be had, making Big Track roll into the kitchen and around the table legs, and the shoot that wee laser beam at whomever, the cat or the budgie or the dog or whatever. Or Starbird, whenever you flew it through the air, this great big plastic spaceship, it actually made spaceship sounds. It'd go, right. Why was that? Because of the batteries on it. And for the Christian, the Word of God hidden in our hearts is that battery, is that power. But not only that, it's not just to benefit us, and it does benefit you. It comforts you whenever you're down, whenever you're weak, just to know that you're Christ's and that you have walked with Christ, that you have learned about his even whenever we are weak, Christ is still there bearing us up. Those verses that Norman read this morning, we can shelter under his wings whenever we're getting a tough time. When things get so bad, like two nights ago, the sinus headache that I had was so bad I couldn't even lie down to pray. It was that bad. It's good to know that God has you even whenever you don't have yourself. But we need to stick his word in our hearts. I'm going to give you a couple of things. It is good for you to sit down and memorize Bible verses. It's good for you spiritually because you will have those words hidden away. The Holy Spirit can bring to your attention whenever you need them. The Bible says, whenever they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall say, for in that same hour it will be given to you what ye shall say, and it will not be you that speaks, it will be the Holy Spirit that speaks in you. That's class. That means God and you's working together to give someone a verse of scripture. But not only that, it is good for you to build neural pathways in your brain. It will stop your brain from deteriorating, because a lot of times whenever people get out of school, they stop learning. You need to learn and keep learning to keep your brain working on into your advanced years. It's good for you physically, it's good for you spiritually, it's good for you mentally to keep God's word in your heart. Not in your phone, not in your bookshelf, not in your glove compartment, hip compartment, breast compartment, but in your heart. Because there could come a day, and it's a funny thing, whenever we need God or his word, it's always at the most inopportune or dangerous times. It's at the time when we don't have it handy. And the only copy we will have is in there. That's where it makes the difference. That's where the power of God is felt, his comfort and his peace and assurance, in there. It's great to have a Bible, but it's just a couple of bits of paper wrapped in leather. Whenever you put it in there, it comes alive. So make sure and keep it. Thank you for your good time. God bless you this morning. Right, closing hymn. I'm more than happy to take a suggestion if somebody has one. If not, I'll be able to come up with one and proper.
245 mark, the old account to sell.
Sounds good to me. 245, I just opened at that hymn. If you're able, let's stand as we sing. 245. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Will. God bless you, folks. Shake hands with everybody except me and fellowship for a while.